Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life. Yeah, yeah.
In the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. I'm so glad that you've tuned into this program today. My name is Brent Russett. I've been the pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church in Ottawa for 28 years. I celebrated my last Sunday there at the end of June, and it has been a privilege to be part of such a wonderful church. This morning will be my last time on Good News in the Morning as well. I have been a part of this ministry since 2012, and it's been a real honor to show how God's Word that was written a long time ago connects with our world right now. Now, as you know, this program is kept on the air by many faithful donors, and I want to thank this morning's program sponsor, Bruce Newman. Bruce would like to give out a shout-out to Jericho Road Christian Ministries as a local registered charity for their outstanding service to the community. Jericho Road is a wonderful ministry, ministering to people who have had a hard time in life, and they see people's lives changed. Thanks, Bruce, and thank you, Jericho Road. Now, while I'm stepping back from the microphone, Good News in the Morning will continue, and it is a ministry worth supporting. So this is my last sermon on Good News in the Morning, so I thought, well, I would try to say something profound. And then I thought, yeah, Brent, good luck with that. I'm wise enough to know that when you try to be profound, you end up probably moving into syrupy sentimentality. I thought, well, what else should I speak on? I thought, well, a great goodbye sermon was preached by Paul to the Ephesian elders in the book of Acts. He reviewed the ministry, and it was a rousing farewell speech. Now, it was even more poignant because Paul believes that he's going to die, and he tells the people in Ephesus that they'll never see him again. And at the end of the speech, everyone ends up crying. A farewell sermon like that on the radio would just be weird. So I thought I settled on this thought. Why not say something helpful to you, and it's also helpful to me. This morning, I want to talk about change. Life is about change. It seems that the only constant in life is change. Life is going to change for me, although at this point of time, I have no idea what shape it's going to take. Life is going to change for you. You see, we live in a world where change is inevitable. Some people embrace change. Some people hate change. Some people avoid change. But change comes to us all, whether or not we're ready for it. We, you and I, are headed for change. Now, the thing about change is it's not all that predictable. You know, some change is for the better. Some change is for the worse. The reality is, oftentimes, you don't know how things are going to turn out until you are way into the change. And here's the thing about the unknown. It causes tension. It causes stress. It causes anxiety. For some people, it causes exhilaration and excitement. And that's cool, but even in the middle of excitement, we know there's risk. And so this morning, I want to talk about peace in the middle of change. I want to take you to one of my favorite passages of Scripture for seasons of change. It's found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, and this is what it says. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, before I walk you through these verses, let me just remind you about the Word of God. How you approach it determines what you will take from it. Some people read the Bible like they would read the Ontario Driver's Manual. They see it as step-by-step instructions on how to live. Now, if you approach the Bible as an operating manual for life, it will affect how you approach these particular verses. Here's what you will get. Well, the subject is peace. So we're going into change and I need peace. So verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything. Well, that's instruction number one. Don't worry. I'm not sure how you do that. Maybe if we follow the rest of the instructions, it will help. But I never found people saying, don't worry, makes me worry less. So what's next? In everything by prayer. Well, I guess I better pray. Dear God, I need you to help me stop worrying. And so I'm starting to pray, and prayer is talking to you. So I'm praying about the change that's coming up. Lord, help us in the middle of change. Okay, I met that condition. What's the next? Well, instruction number 3 says, in prayer and petition. And King James Version uses the word supplication. It means humbly asking God or humbly begging God. God, I beg you to answer my prayer. Lord, help my change to go well. Instruction number 4 says, and the next part of the verse, well, with thanksgiving. Well, I'm prayed and I've asked God for what I want. Now I better throw in some thanksgiving. God, I want to thank you for who you are and for the fact that you're good and you're loving and you're kind. Okay, I've met all the conditions. I completed the list of instruction. If this were a car, I'd be driving by now. So I should be cruising through life. And here's the promise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, should be mine. Well, you know, it's a set of instructions in life. Those aren't bad. But I don't know about you. I've never found formulas really helpful in my Christian walk. God is not a vending machine where we plug in right actions and out pops the right stuff. God's not a puzzle to be solved. I think we miss much if we approach the Bible as an operator's manual. See, one of the things we know about God is that he is first and foremost a relational God. Before the world began, before anything that is was made, God himself lived in the community of the Trinity. There is this ongoing, awesome relationship between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They are full of love and purpose and life. And the Bible tells us that there's this ongoing communication between the members of the Trinity. God is first and foremost relational. Then he created humans, and God has shown over and over again that he wants to walk in relationship with us. The whole point of Christ's death on the cross is that we were estranged from God, but God wanted to make a way where we can have a personal relationship with him. God wants to walk in relationship with us. God is a relational God. And so he invites you into a relationship with him. And the reality is that we were estranged from God. Our relationship with him was broken because of sin. Sin does all kinds of bad things to us, the worst of which is that it kills us. We're spiritually dead. God is spiritually fully alive. God wants a relationship with us, but he is spirit, and he can't have a relationship with something that's dead. So what he did was make a way by Jesus' death on the cross for our sin to be dealt with, the stuff that killed us. And not only that, so that he deals with our sin, but then he raises us to life again. When we come to God and say, Lord, I know that I've sinned and I'm spiritually dead, but your promise is that if I would give you my life, I would receive you into my life and ask you to forgive me of my sins, that you would. And not only that, you'd make me spiritually alive. So Lord, that is what I do ask. Lord, I give my life to you. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I'm going to follow you. And if you pray a prayer or something like that in faith, God will do what he said he would do. And you are made spiritually alive. Now back to our passage. Well, what if instead of a driver's operating manual, we approach the Bible like letters from an awesome God and Father with whom we were estranged but have now been reconciled to? He has made us alive, but we're kind of like spiritual newborns. We really don't know how to live, but we're learning to trust him, and we're learning how to live, and we're learning to count on him. These letters are about learning to live in relationship with him. What would happen if we approach the passage from a relational point of view? Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Well, all the way through the book of Philippians, Paul has been urging the church to rejoice in the Lord. The word rejoice is the word that's often translated joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Same word. It's the idea of this deep well-being. It says, have this deep sense of well-being in the Lord. Take joy in the Lord. Paul is reveling Christians. He is urging us to revel in our relationship with God. He's urging us to celebrate what the Lord has done for us. We have this great sense of well-being, knowing that who we are and whose we are. We have been forgiven. We've been brought into relationship with the God of the universe. He's adopted us into his family. Be glad about that. Take pleasure in that. Rejoice in the Lord. Celebrate your relationship with Jesus. You know, I used to see this verse as primarily talking about worship. Lord, I want to thank you for my salvation. Lord, I want to thank you for who you are. And there certainly is an element of that. But reveling in the Lord is more than just worship. It's kind of has this wow factor. It's like, well, I can't believe how gracious and merciful God is. He's there when I blow it, when I've sinned. It is incredible that he wants to involve me in his plans and purposes for this world. It is incredible that he takes the time to work with me to restore his image in me. He has made me alive. He invites me to walk with him. The Bible says, I am in Christ and Christ is in God. Therefore, I've been invited right into the heart of the Trinity. My spirit is surrounded by the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and his goodness is swirling around me. There is this profound relationship that goes beyond understanding with the God of the universe. And so when he says, rejoice in the Lord, it's about reveling in who you are and whose you are. You are in him. Now, I'd say this. Oftentimes, this is easy to do when you first come to know Jesus because everything is so new, everything's so fresh. But after you've been walking with Jesus for a while, we kind of take for granted that we're part of the family of God, and we go through phases where, well, the worship songs aren't expressing our heart anymore, and we lose the wonder of our salvation. And I've been there. You may have been there too. But the issue is not that we've learned everything. There is more to learn, or the issue is not that we've seen everything there is to see. The issue is that we've failed to explore the fullness of our salvation that is ours. I am still wowed by God after 50 years of following him. But in those dry times, I would urge you, and I remind myself, don't get proud to think you know it all or that you've seen it all. Your heart just isn't soft enough right then or big enough to see further into the riches of your salvation. But if you keep on pushing into it, it will come. So rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. That is the prelude to having peace. So we're going to listen to Stuart Townsend, and he's going to sing about the peace of God.
The risen Son.
Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." Let your gentleness be evident to all. This is kind of one of those, seems to be one of those side notes. Paul is just about to tell us what it takes to walk in peace, but then he throws in this, well, let your gentleness be evident to all. What does that have to do with peace? What does that have to do with peace in the middle of change or not worrying or anything like that? Well, just a few verses before this, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 2, Paul's talking to the church in Philippi, and he addresses two women, and this is what he says. He says, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Synecdoche to be of the same mind in the Lord. You know, there is some drama going on between these two women. And sometimes in the middle of circumstances when things are changing, some of us have a propensity towards drama. Paul says, if you want peace, let your gentleness be evident to all. Here's my interpretation of that. As much as it lies within your power, don't be part of the drama. I could riff on that for a while, but you just need to know that when change is coming and when stress is there and when anxiety is happening, that it's really easy for drama to happen and people say stuff and do stuff and our hearts are sensitive and things get blown all out of proportion and we're likely to respond in harshness and in anger. And Paul says, wait a second here. Rejoice in the Lord always. Focus in on who you are and whose you are. And let your gentleness be evident to all. Don't get caught up in the drama. And then he goes on to say this, the Lord is near. If you're going to understand these verses as relational, then you're going to have to understand this, the Lord is near. You know, I know that there are times in your life where it feels like God is far away. I know that there are times in your life where it seems like God is really distant. And you pray, and it doesn't seem like you're connecting, and you talk to him, and you wonder where he is. But here is the truth. Despite how you feel, despite how it seems, the Word of God says, the Lord is near. Will you trust God's Word instead of your feelings? The Lord is near. You're stressed out. Life is changing. Things are hard. And your heart is all in turmoil, and you're wondering where God is. I want you to know this, that the Lord is near. And you're going to have to make a decision between what your feelings are telling you and what the Word of God is telling you. Because you will act on one or the other, and I want to urge you to act out of the Word of God. Now, if you are a Christian and you've read your Bible a little bit, then you know that theologically the Lord is near. Because he is everywhere present. And you know scripturally that the Lord is near because Jesus said before he left this world, well, lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. He says, God is everywhere present. He's near. And Jesus says, I'm going to be with you always, even to the very end of the age. But experientially, sometimes you sense that God is – sometimes you sense he's really close, but other times you sense not so much so. I want to urge you, wherever you are, trust the Word of God. The Lord is near. If the Lord is near, and if God is a relational God, you have what it takes to meet the challenges of the day. And here's what you need to know. In the changes that come, the Lord is near. In the questions that will inevitably arise, the Lord is near. When you're laying on your bed and asking what if or what's next and what will I do if this happens and what am I going to do when that happens, I want you to know this, the Lord is near. In working through complicated issues and in trying to make decisions, I want you to know this, the Lord is near. And it's out of that relationship. It's out of the fact that the God is near that Paul writes these next words. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. You see, if you approach Scripture as a rule-based operating manual, then you'll hear the command, don't be anxious, and you'll think, well, that's nice, as if anxiety was my choice. So you think, I'm going to try not to worry about it, but if you're worried, you're worried. But if this is really about relationship, then Paul's saying, the all-powerful God of the universe is near. So instead of anxiety, push into your relationship with him and push into your relationship with him about everything that's going on around you in every situation. Pray about every situation. The Lord is near. You're walking through life together with God, and God is concerned about this. And so as you're walking through life, you're saying, well, Lord, I'm worried about this. Lord, I see change coming, and I don't know what shape the future will take. And if there's this ongoing conversation between you and God, if you're praying about everything, you start to get that God has the circumstances and your life in his hands. It says, pray about it everything, pray about it in every situation, with petition. Petition is really asking God for what you want. Prayer is like, God, I really don't know what to do in this situation. Would you help me? Would you do something here? Petition is more like specifically asking God for what you want. Lord, I would like you to do this. I would like you to provide someone to help me here. Lord, in the middle of these changes, I would love to see you work in my life or in this situation in this particular way. I want to see you show up and so that people would see that you're at work here. Petition is humbly asking for exactly what you want to see happen. Now, that does not mean that God's going to give you everything you ask for, but I will tell you this. God really wants to give you as much good as you can handle. If he says no to your specific request now, it's only because he has a bigger and better yes to come in your future. And so I want to urge you in everything by prayer and petition. And it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. With thanksgiving. It is about relationship. Then you because if it is about relationship, then you can't treat God like a vending machine. You know, God, give me this and give me that and give me this. It's about relationship. Remember who you are and what God has done in your life. Remember whose you are, that you've been adopted into the family of God. You've been loved by God. Remember whose you are and you give thanks. Remember that what God has done for you in your past and you give thanks. Yeah, remember about what God is up to right now. Look around your life and look at what you're thankful for. Give thanks to God. See, if you're in praying in every situation and you're walking through life, God, I need help with this. But hey, Lord, thanks for the beautiful day, or thank you for this relationship, or thank you for this little blessing that came my way today. Pray about it in every situation. It's this conversation with God. And if you do this, and if you focus on the relationship, if you pray about the stuff that's going on around you, if you tell God what you want him to do, well, God is near. And here's what will happen. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. This is God's promise to you. His peace that goes beyond what will make sense to you will guard your heart and your mind. This may be the most Canadian verse in the Bible. The idea behind guarding your heart and your mind is that the peace of God will goaltend your heart. Imagine peace as a fully equipped hockey goaltender. When life shoots difficult questions or too much activities and too much change and you're stressed about the future, the peace of God guards your heart. The peace of God doesn't stop the complexities of your life from happening. It just guards your heart and your mind. It doesn't stop difficult situations from arising. It just guards your heart and your mind. And here's the thing. To navigate change well, to face the future well, your most important asset is a good heart and a clear mind. It's when your heart gets twisted up with stress and your minds get fogged over with overwhelming situations that we don't live well in the middle of change. But people, the Lord is near. You are in relationship with him. So talk to him. Pray to him. Ask him for what you want. Celebrate what he's done. Why? Because God is big enough to handle our futures. God is big enough to handle our problems. God is big enough to handle our issues. And when we learn that, the peace of God protects our hearts and our minds. That's my prayer for you. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for your peace that comes to us wherever we're at. So, Lord, help us to pray about everything. Ask and remember that you are near. Thank you, Lord, for your closeness. Lord, we pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for listening to Good News in the Morning, and thanks again to Bruce Newman and your salute to Jericho Road Christian Ministries. This program is on the air by the grace of God and the donations of many faithful people. And my name is Brent Russett, and it has been a real privilege to bring you Good News in the Morning.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. We so appreciate the donations which we depend on to keep us on the air week by week. We invite individuals, companies to donate any amount, anytime, or to sponsor our programs on an annual basis. Please donate via our website or make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to 96 Pheasant Run Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, K2J2R5, Canada. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.